and show him some honor, and let's give him a big hand. Come on up, sir.
Yay for me. Who says that? Is that Alicia? No, she says yay for God. That's what she says, which is even cooler, huh? Well, I hope you guys are doing all right. It's always a very fun thing for me to get to speak. I say it all the time. I've said it a lot that, you know, if you just get into God's Word a little bit, you'll find stuff to talk about. You know, they say that people's number one fear is public speaking. But if you get in the Word and you find out what the Word says, you have something to say. It's really not, you know, I don't really get too nervous anymore, you know, just about the first 10 seconds. So, you know, a little while ago. Well, tonight, the title of my message is Visions and Dreams. And I know that kind of might, I know in my mind when I hear visions and dreams, I kind of start thinking, oh man, we're going to get into some deep stuff, you know. But it ain't deep. It ain't real deep. It's very simple stuff, but very good stuff. And I'll just go ahead and start by reading our opening scripture, which is in Acts chapter 2. And I'm looking at verse 17 and 18. And it says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, of course, you guys know in the book of Acts, it's the Acts of the Apostles. I like to think of it as it's the Acts of the new church, the new covenant church. Because Jesus has died and he's risen from the dead, and we are now saved. We have eternal life. And so it's the Acts of the new church. Verse 17, Acts 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, I want you guys to think with me for just a minute. Just take a second and think about maybe something that, and maybe you don't have a vision or a dream. Maybe you haven't yet to have a vision or a dream. But I think most all of us in this room at one time in our life have had a time where you felt like maybe God was leading you in a certain direction. You know, I'm talking about for your life. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, just one little instance. I know in my heart, I know that there are some things that God has dealt with me, spoke with me, like my whole Christian life. And I think all of you guys probably, or at least most of you, do too. And so what I want you to do is think about that, and I want you guys to I know in my life some of the things I have not done. I have not, you know, I haven't pursued those things. And so I want to kind of stir you guys up a little bit about that and pick that thing back up. Pick that vision back up. Pick that dream back up. You know, one of the cool things about these verses that I just read is it covers everybody. He said, "Your young men and your old men," or "your old people and your young people." And if you think, well, he said men, so, you know, it doesn't, if you're a woman, you know, and you think, well, that it don't include me. Well, verse 18, he said, my servants and my handmaidens. He made sure he got the girls in there. But we're all included in that. We're all men. We are all mankind. And that's what he was saying. I want to also let you guys notice another thing about these verses is that he says prophesy, they will prophesy two times. He says it twice. He says it in verse 17 and he says it in verse 18. And I think it's in the 1 Corinthians, I forget what chapter it's in, but Paul wrote that prophecy, everybody thinks prophecy is like telling the future. Well, some sort of. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that prophecy is exhortation, edification, and comfort. So I looked those three words up in my Greek concordance, and I just want to tell you guys some of the definitions of these three words. Promote wisdom, happiness, holiness, encourage, to call near, to refresh, to calm, to stimulate, to persuade. So to prophesy is to do all these things. And according to God's word, we're supposed to be doing those things. We're supposed to be promoting wisdom, happiness. We're supposed to be encouraging. We're supposed to be refreshing. We're supposed to be calming, stimulating, persuading. God has a vision and a dream for each and every one of us, and it includes these things. You know, when we read the Bible, sometimes I think that we kind of just look at it as a little bitty snapshot, and we forget to look at the big picture. At this time in Acts chapter 2, you got to remember that these disciples, they just got filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? Because Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But about 50 days before that, Jesus died. And they all hid because they were scared. I mean, how would you guys feel if, you know, you'd been following Jesus around for 3 years, 4 years, and all of a sudden he's gone? You could imagine, right? We could imagine how that would be. Because Jesus was awesome, right? Evidently he was very awesome. He was very important to them. Or they wouldn't have went and hid. But it said they were scared and hid for, you know, a while. But Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Spirit. They did that. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing you know, Peter's standing up preaching to 3,000 people. 3,000 people get born again. You know, I always think about the verse where Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send another comforter. So the Holy Spirit is here in Jesus' place for us. He's our comforter, just like Jesus was a comforter. That's pretty awesome. I mean, that is when you think about that. I mean, how cool would it be if Jesus was standing right here? If he went, you know, he could appear right here, bam, right? And he could do anything he wanted, couldn't he? He could heal everybody in here. He could answer every question we have, right? He could set everything, right? I mean, he could set everything straight like that. If he wanted to, he could just put all the answers and the healing on us just like that. He could just go poof, poof. And he said that the Holy Spirit is sent in. He's sent in my place as another comforter. And we've got access to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Well, let me go ahead and go to my first point this evening. My first point, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. And I think these scriptures here are telling us how we are supposed to stay. You know, we can say, hey, you know, God wants us to stay filled with the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Any of you guys interested in knowing how to do that? You know, when the Bible tells me to do something, I kind of want to know, well, how? You know, when it says do something, how do I do that? So I'm going to tell you guys how to do it. Ephesians 5:18, and don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you just are singing to be singing and it's not real, then you're probably not. But I don't think there's anybody in this room that wants to fake it. I don't want to fake serving God. I've done that long enough. I've done that. I've been there. I used to be there. When we get up here and we sing, you know, I know that a lot of times we get into just this tradition of, well, when we start service, we just sing. It shouldn't be a tradition of just singing. It should be we're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. When we come in here and we just begin to thank Him and lift our voices and start praising Him and we start telling Him what His Word says. If you keep reading in Acts, I can't remember if it's at the end of chapter 2 or if it's at the end of chapter 4. I can't remember. But you see when there's a spot in there where they did this. They just got threatened. They were just arrested, and the religious leaders said, hey, don't be preaching Jesus no more. And they're like, well, We're going to do what God says. But then when they went to their friends, it said they went to their company and they told them everything that happened. And it says they all lifted their voices to God with one accord, all in unity. And they began telling God what his word says. And then they prayed for boldness. And then it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. They had already been filled in Acts chapter 2. How did they get filled again? It's a constant thing that we're supposed to be doing. Stay filled. Anybody ever eat just once and you say, okay, that's enough. Don't have to eat anymore. That'd be great. We'd save a lot of money. But you got to keep eating, right, to stay alive. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. So when we come into this place, hopefully from now on, when we come into this place and we begin to play instruments and sing, and we'll all remember, hey, we're fixing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to keep ourselves filled. All right. I'll go ahead and go to point number two for this evening. Stay connected to one another. Now, when I was studying this and I wrote this, stay connected to one another. You know, just because I say here that we are to stay connected to one another doesn't necessarily mean that all of us are going to just have to be around each other all the time. That'd be impossible, wouldn't it? Right? So being connected to people doesn't necessarily mean that we spend every waking moment with them. I like to look at it this way, is that we're all unified. We all have the same kind of thinking. We all have the same kind of acting. You understand? You know, again, when I was talking about how the disciples, when they had gotten arrested, and then the religious leaders told them, hey, you know, don't be preaching Jesus, and they, you know, really kind of let them have it. I don't know that maybe if I was in that situation, I don't know that maybe I might not have been complaining a little bit. You know, like, God, I'm doing everything right, and now I'm getting arrested, and, you know, I'm getting persecuted. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. They cried out to God and said, God, your word says this, and we can have your boldness to speak your word, and people are going to get healed and saved. You know? And that's the kind of culture that Jesus created while he was on the earth with him. He created a culture of unity. He created a culture of, you know, love, you know, being positive. Pastor Marvin just said earlier, being positive, not getting negative. I think that's something that we have to do as a church. Let me read Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to look at verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the vision and the dream that God has for you is bigger than you. You can't do it by yourself. The vision that God has for this church is bigger than all of us. That's why we need each other. It's the way God meant for it to be. If we could do it, if we could do something for God real easy and simple, I mean, that just don't sound like God, right? He's not little and simple. He's big and he's awesome. You know, the Word of God tells us that in the ages to come, he's going to be showing us his grace and his favor. You know, just as soon as we think we got God figured out, he's going to show us something new. And we're all going to go, man, you know, we're all going to be like, what? You know, we're going to be like amazed. And imagine that happening for eternity. That we'll never exhaust him. And that's just the kind of God he is, right? He is that kind of God, just bigger than any one of us. So I'm just going to kind of look at some of the scripture verses near the end of Acts chapter 2, kind of what happened to these guys. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, Then they that gladly received his word, this was after Peter had preached, you know, about Jesus, all they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Notice they just threw away all selfishness. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Doesn't those verses right there, doesn't that pretty much define what we want here now on the earth now? Don't we all want and wish that we were doing this, preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus, people were getting born again, lives are being changed, people are losing selfishness, people are doing whatever it takes to help one another out. Just continuing on doing what God's word tells us to do. And then at the end, we have favor with God. Favor with the people, he says. Isn't that, I mean, he summed it up right there. You know, when I read the Bible, I know that it says for Christian people that we're supposed to do a whole lot of different things, right? Like we're supposed to read our Bibles, we're supposed to pray, and we're supposed to go to church, and you know, y'all understand what I'm saying? But for me, I kind of like to break it down in three things, and I'm just going to give you guys, in closing here, I want to give you guys those three things. The first one is know Jesus. Know him. We have to know him. And I think about the scripture, I keep wanting to think it's in Philippians, where Paul said that. He said, I want to know him. Because if we don't know him, then it really doesn't matter what else we do, right? I mean, you can't help people. You can't help other people if you don't know Jesus. You just can't. Because there's no help. There's no other help but him, right? I mean, if we don't know him, we're lost. So first, know Jesus. And again, this is not everything, but you know, I kind of lumped maybe the most important three to me, all right? But know Jesus. We got to do that. We got to. The second thing is tell others about Jesus. Right? We got to do that. Right before Jesus left the earth, hey, go preach the gospel to all. Go preach the gospel to everybody. Didn't you say that? I would figure if he was going to say anything right as he left, it's probably pretty important. And then the third thing, teach others to obey him. Teach others to obey Jesus. He told us, go teach the nations, teach everyone, make disciples, teach them to obey my commandments. So I want you guys to just remember a few things, is of course these three things here, and just to remember that, again, the dream, the vision that God has given you, to not let go of that vision and dream. If you've set it down, like I had said earlier, that there's some things in my life that I know that God's dealt with me about, and I've kind of set them down and not really done much with them. If there's something like that in your life, then pick that thing back up. Talk to God about it. Pray about it. And then do it. Go do it. And I truly believe because you're connected with this church, that vision, that dream is supposed to be worked through this church, with all of our visions and dreams, as we work through this culture again that Jesus has created of just, you know, being a different people. Our president gave the State of the Union address last night, and you guys know that it doesn't matter what the State of the Union is to God. God is not changed or moved whether our nation is doing great or whether it's doing horrible. Right? I mean, he's God. And so, yes, sure, it's great when our country's doing good and things are right. Sure, sure it does. But that doesn't keep us from doing what God said. You know, when you read his word, he didn't say, go preach the gospel as long as it's convenient. He didn't. He didn't say, go preach the gospel if your government's lined up with it or if they approve it. He didn't say things like that. He just said, just go do it. So take your vision, take your dream, and put it to work. You know, if you spend time talking with God, it doesn't matter what's going on in our world or in our nation. It doesn't matter what's going on. God will tell you exactly what to do and guide us through it. All right? Father, we thank you this evening that we can hear your word, that we know you have a vision, a dream for us. We thank you that you've included each and every one of us in that, that we all have a dream. Whether we're young, middle-aged, old, it doesn't matter. You want to use us, and you're going to use us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.